chasing. Ever since we kissed, it's like my heart is taken. It's taken by you. Feelings been caught, just more than just some sex. We got closer since you left your ex. Even when you had a man, I was had a little thing for a nigga. Fuck a one night stand, girl, this ain't no fling. Got ambition and plans with a nigga. A lot of motherfuckers done changed. Shawty, I was kept to the grin. Bitches ain't show me love, but you ain't doing the same. All the way up, breaking up my day.
Yeah.
Get you when I pray.
Yeah.
Heaven knows I've been through hell and you show.
Yeah.
Me. When I was down, gotta set you right on time just to
see. I gotta let that ride for a minute. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio.
Let's get going, girl.
My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ready to chop up some great game on today's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. You know how we do it. Give me a call. Let's chop up some of that game, ladies and gentlemen. But what we're going to do now, we're going to get that quick commercial break popping. So don't y'all move a muscle. We will be right back, right here on Tariq Radio.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? You know it's time to get your Second Amendment game in order, and you need to check out one of the most well-respected black-owned gun stores / consultants in the United States. Redstone Firearms. Not only can you purchase guns from them, they also offer consulting, educating, and training about your weapons. They will also give you a lot of good game on gun laws and so much more. You guys need to go right now to RedstoneFirearms.com. That's RedstoneFirearms.com. Also, follow them on Instagram at Redstone Firearms and follow them on Facebook at Redstone Firearms. What's up, family? If you make music and you're looking for experienced, no-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing mastering for a great price with a fast turnaround time. As a bonus to sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com, you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Send a text to legendarymix.com at 347-565-5892 or email music at legendarymix.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Oh, we're back. What's up, y'all? Glad to have y'all tuning in. I'm ready to chop it up with you. I hope y'all doing good. I hope y'all had a great day, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you got your tickets to see 1804 in theaters. It's going to be out here in Los Angeles on October 12th. That's going to be the premiere. The worldwide premiere is out here in Los Angeles. Y'all need to join me in L.A. at the premiere out here in L.A. Go to 1804movie.com. And the rest of the screenings are going to be on October 19th. One day only in most of the cities. Some cities are going to be a couple of days. I think it might be 2 days in Chicago. We're still getting Chicago taken care of. We were trying to get it in Atlanta. I know Atlanta was really wanting to see the film, but we couldn't get a theater. We're still trying, though, by the way. Some cities is going to be October 26th. So, again, go to 1804movie.com. Now, some cities are actually sold out. New York, that screening sold out in a week. The New York showing sold out in 1 week. That showing is completely sold out. What I'm going to do, I'm going to holler at the theater and see if we can try to get a second screening for 1804 on the same day. The first screening is going to be at 7:30, so we want to see if we can get a 9:30 screening. So I'll find that out from the theater chain, from Landmark. Dallas is almost sold out. I know that Washington, D.C. is almost sold out. You got to get your tickets. Again, also, I'm going to be at the showing on the 19th in Baltimore at the Senator Theater, so you guys get your tickets for that. There's a couple of theaters in Baltimore. We got a big audience in Baltimore, so a couple of theaters in Baltimore that night are showing the film. Go to 1804movie.com. Ladies and gentlemen, what's up, Jay? You said aisle 5 in Atlanta. Email me the information on that. Email me at info@tariqelite.com. I'm looking in the chat room and some people are like, you should try this theater, try that theater. And I don't know too much about those places, so email me some information on them. You know, hope it ain't no little janky donut shop or some shit like that. And also, I'm going to be in the UK. That's going to be on October 22nd. We're doing the UK premiere in Birmingham, England. I will be out there. I'm leaving directly from Baltimore. We're going out to the UK. So we're doing it. This thing is going to be worldwide, killing the game. Right now on Amazon, the movie 1804, just on pre-sales alone, because the DVD is going to be released on the 1st of November. Based on pre-sales alone, the movie's already at number 2. It's the number 2 best-selling DVD on Amazon. We need to get it to number 1. Everybody, if you're listening now, go pre-order the DVD right now on Amazon so you will be the first to get it. All my people from Indiegogo, you're going to get yours sent out before the release, about a week before it's on commercial sales. And the movie is just going to be phenomenal, man. You guys are going to really love it. Everybody's hyped about it. I'm hyped about it. And you got to go see it. You got to go see it in a theater full of people. You need that energy. The energy when you're in a theater full of people is just phenomenal. You need that energy, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, the phone number is 818-850-5404. A lot of folks calling. A lot of stuff I want to talk about tonight. Let me see who's on the phone. Shit. This nigga phone. Hey, brother, how you doing, sir?
What's up, Tariq?
What's up?
This Jesse from Birmingham, Alabama. 1804 coming to Birmingham, Alabama.
We're working on that. I know my man David Banner's trying to work on that. Boy, what is that noise in the back? Jesse, I got to... Hold on. Shit. Jesse's on a damn CB. Okay, let me chill out with the call. Shit, I can't deal with that. I don't know what that was in the background. That brother had a Fed phone. A lot of stuff I want to get into. Did y'all hear the story? There was a case in Oklahoma City where there was a black infant. I think he was about 3 or 4 months years old. Did I say four months years old? Okay. Let me dust my GED off. I said 3 or 4 months years old. Nigga. 3 or 4 months old. Oh, that was ratchet. I had to catch myself on that one. But there was this black child about 3 or 4 months old, and he was left in a car seat on the side of an interstate. Little cute kid, little black boy. And whoever left him, he was in a car seat. Some people found him. They were driving. They saw like a car seat. They thought it was a doll. And they drove up and saw, you know, it was a little kid in there. He wasn't hurt or anything like that, but he was in there. Somebody had put his birth certificate in there. They put, I think, his Social Security card in there. And they had $5,000 cash in the car seat with this little child on the side of the road. This happened in Oklahoma City. And a few things about this story kind of raised my antennas because the story is kind of vague. This is a very vague story. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like some white chick had a black kid and abandoned the kid. I could be wrong, but that's just from the outset. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like some white chick. I don't know, man. It just sounds real weird. Somebody said, no, they left the baby. Oh, yeah. But it sounds like some white chick had a black baby and kind of said, fuck it, let me abandon this kid. I could be wrong, but when I read the story, this is the thing that makes me raise my antennas. Number one, no media reports, law enforcement, they're not releasing the name of the parent, the woman whose child it was, because they eventually tracked the mother down. They tracked her down, but they're not releasing her name. Now, that's a red flag right there, because they, with black folks, they release our fucking name. With black people, they release the name, your name, everybody in the family's name. They're going to release somebody's name and have your picture all on the TV and everything. So they didn't release the name, so that's kind of a red flag. Another thing, they're not pressing charges. Because I think they said they did some kind of evaluation with the mother. And again, they are not, they're very vague and hush-hush on who the mother is and why the baby was left there. They're very vague on this. And the fact that they're so secretive and vague further lets me think that this is a white woman that they're protecting. And they're not pressing charges. You leave a fucking baby on the side of the road, even if you do it by accident. That's some child neglect shit, and black folks usually get arrested for stuff like that. And that's another red flag, what makes me think this is a white chick who had a baby by a black dude and said, fuck it. But what really made me think this is a white woman is because they left the baby on the side of the road with $5,000 in the car seat. Ain't no fucking sister leaving no damn $5,000 nowhere. Abandonment or not, a sister ain't leaving $5,000 with nobody nowhere. Shit. I know sisters. Sisters ain't leaving no five fucking G's nowhere. And sisters listening, you know you better than we do. You know you ain't leaving no damn $5,000 nowhere. Especially in no damn car seat with no kid. You'll leave $20 and a sippy cup in that motherfucker. You ain't leaving no 5 G's. You ain't leaving $5,000. You'll leave an EBT card in that motherfucker. You ain't leaving no 5 G's. Hell no. And so I know something. There's some funny business going on here. That's why I'm thinking this is a white woman. I'm done this shit. There's some guilt. Like, I'm abandoning this baby, but I'm going to leave some money to assuage my guilt here. But very interesting story, man. Y'all look that up, man. It's crazy. And the baby is in protective custody right now. And I know people are offering to adopt the kid and all that. So it's a very sad story, man. Very, very sad story. So check into that. All my black folks out there in Oklahoma, take that baby in. Shit. Man. Anyway, we know that right now there's a lot of white supremacists who are protesting or who are upset over the NFL protests and the sports protests, meaning black people are protesting systematic white supremacy at the beginning of these sporting events. And we're doing something that is not supposed to be done. You're not supposed to talk about white supremacy. The white supremacists, they have given us rules to never put them on Front Street. We're supposed to pretend that systematic white supremacy doesn't exist. Everything messed up is our own fault. We're supposed to suffer in silence and not say anything. If we want to protest, do it some other way. Do it peacefully. And if we do it peacefully, well, that's just, well, if you do it peacefully over there. See, we keep playing this game, and I'm talking directly to the Melanoid family. Stop letting these goddamn white supremacists dictate how we are going to protest their white supremacist views. That's the dumbest shit ever when black folks bow down to that bullshit. We're letting them tell us how to protest them. We're protesting white supremacy, not white people, because the only people who have a problem are white supremacists or suspected white supremacists. And frankly, I don't give a shit how a white supremacist feel about anybody protesting their demonic, unconstitutional actions. Once you get that attitude, you'll be straight. Fuck all the buck dancing and the butter biscuit eating and the tap dancing and, oh, we got to make them feel comfortable. I's not protesting the national anthem. Fuck, don't explain shit to them. Black folks, with all this copping, please, stop copping, please. Fuck them. You got these white supremacists out here now burning jerseys and all that. These are white supremacists. You're not supposed to be negotiating with them. Yeah, if they're embarrassed, good. If they're uncomfortable, good. We just want to watch the game. We don't want all that. Well, look, we don't want white supremacy, so we're even. I'm uncomfortable with white supremacy. You're uncomfortable with us talking about it. So, look, we're even. So there has to be some kind of compromise. You compromise first. We got to get off this bullshit where we suffer in silence because they want us to. No. Black folks, on the real, stop buck dancing for the white supremacists, because you think a lot of black folks, you don't have confidence in other black folks. That's the truth. You don't really have confidence in a lot of other black people. You think, well, white mommy and daddy, we need white mommy and daddy. No, you don't. Yes, we're in a global system of white supremacy, but we have to learn how to aggregate our resources and reach our people. I know that you can get more resources from the dominant society, but you have to compromise too much of your integrity to do that. And compromising your integrity is just not worth it. As you see, that's not going to save you. You need a protective layer, which is your own community. You don't stop trying to be that special chosen token Negro. That just makes you more weak and more vulnerable and more susceptible to white supremacist terrorism. I really wish black people had more confidence in themselves and their ability. You can be great in whatever you do and still want to stand for justice and stand against non-justice in the form of white supremacy. This is why I heard some black folks are talking about starting a league. We need to be on that immediately. I know some brothers got that in the work. Don't Ice Cube have something called the Big Three or something like that? It's like a league. We need to be thinking in those terms right now. And the thing is, black folks need to do stuff like this in their prime. See, a lot of times black folks coon in their prime. And I'm talking about people in the sports industry, the entertainment industry. Not too many people like our brother Kaepernick will put his neck out there on the line and his career out there on the line in his prime. Takes a lot of character to do that in your prime. People like Ali, they put that game out there in their prime. They stuck their neck out in their prime. A lot of folks aren't willing to do that because, you know, the white mommy and white daddy dangle that coon carrot in front of your face and it's like, shut up, nigga, and play. And if we just happen to catch you outside and not recognize who you are and we ruffle you up a little bit like they did the NFL player a few weeks ago in Vegas, well, that's just part of the game. That's just part of life. That's just part of the system of white supremacy. But the benefit is you get to have nice shit if you live. Nah. That's no way of living. They told Jewish people that too in Nazi Germany. There were rich Jewish people who were funneled right into those damn concentration camps and gassed. See, we got to get off that thing where a few of us, if we got a little paper, we're safe. No, it has to be a network of people with a system of economics that will protect us. And again, don't do it when you out of your coon prime. When you, a brother sent me a link today about Jackie Robinson, who was a lifelong coon. Jackie Robinson, the baseball player, was a lifelong coon. Don't get it twisted. Jackie Robinson was a coon. Jackie Robinson was a coon. And with Jackie Robinson, in 1972, he wrote in his autobiography how I can't stand for the national anthem because of how black folks been treated. Now, he said this in 1972 after a lifelong coon escapade. He cooned his whole life, his whole career. Once his career was over, once his career was done, now he want to speak about non-justice. I mean, this man talks slick about Muhammad Ali back in the 60s when the white supremacists were paying him, when that coon money dried up. Now he wanted to, well, racism is bad. I can't stand for that national anthem. And he wrote his autobiography trying to speak out against injustices against black folks, and then he died the same year. So don't start speaking up once you out your damn prime and the coon money done dried up. You notice that? When the coon money starts to dry up a little bit, then they start trying to slip and weasel themselves over into black society again. Jackie Robinson was an opportunist. You have a lot of opportunists out here who are black when it's opportune for them, when the coon money done dried up and they done disparage black society and suck white ass, and then the biscuits done ran out. Now they want to squeeze back over here. Hey, y'all, I miss y'all so much. No, nigga. No, going over there. Going over there. You got to do it in your prime. That's a testament to your character, not when you out the game. But the thing is, look, I started doing this talking about systematic white supremacy when I didn't have to. And I want my athletes to understand that. Look, we got to stop being afraid of what we're going to lose. Look, before I started doing documentaries and all that, man, my books were bestsellers. As a matter of fact, right now, if you go to BarnesandNoble.com, and I posted something today because it was just, I just happened to look at my book sales on Barnes & Noble's. If you go to BarnesandNoble.com right now, Barnes & Noble's, not only is it the biggest bookstore, ain't Barnes & Noble the only bookstore left, the bookstore chain, from what I understand? I think Barnes & Noble's is literally the only bookstore chain in the country left. I don't think there's Borders Books no more. What other bookstore chain is there besides Barnes & Noble's? That's the only one that I know of right now. And everybody else gets stuff off Amazon, but that's an online retailer. But anyway, I was on Barnes & Noble's, which is basically the only bookseller now. And if you go to the best-selling dating books in the world, my book that I wrote damn near two decades ago, The Art of Macking, is still in the top 20 bestsellers list right now. I didn't miss a fucking beat. We think if we start challenging non-justice, we ain't gonna eat no more. Fuck that. No. Somebody said Books a Million is okay. But my book, The Art of Macking, is in the top 20. Still. Book I wrote two damn decades ago almost. I wrote that book in 1999. And if you go to Dating Books for Men and look at the bestsellers, there's two of my other books on there, The Mac Within and The Elite Way. They're in the top five. My book, The Elite Way, is like the top five over there. Bestseller. Not missing a beat. Right now on Amazon, out of all the DVDs in the world, the one that I just produced, 1804, is number two in the world right now. There's a reason why the white supremacists get mad, because see, the thing is, they like a nigga in a dusty basement talking about fuck the cracker. Fuck, they don't mind that. They don't mind somebody dusty mad at white supremacy. But when there's a black person who does things that are successful, and then they say, I disagree with white supremacy, that's a problem to them. And you got to be able to stand up to that and not be afraid. Because the white supremacists, they love when we fail, and if we succeed, we're supposed to be grateful as shit to them. Notice the criticism of athletes. They keep using the word ungrateful. Y'all notice that? They keep using the fucking word ungrateful. These ungrateful NFL players. Some of them are just saying these ungrateful niggas. There's a couple of people who've been fired. There's a fire marshal or some fire chief. I think he's in Pennsylvania somewhere. He was like, these fucking no good, ungrateful niggas. I mean, he just went all out. He had to resign. But they keep using the term ungrateful. You Negroes are so ungrateful. Because, see, what that means is we know you're in a system of white supremacy. So we're letting you make money. We could be treating you like the other niggas we treat fucked up, but we're letting you make money. That's their mentality. And no, they're not. It's your talent. Black folks, you have to understand your exceptionality, and you have to understand your talent and what your talent is worth. And you got to think globally. Get your mind out the fucking hood. These white supremacists aren't. You can make money globally. If you have talent, you can utilize your talent anywhere. Talent is talent. That's why some of these guys, if the leagues over here are fucked up, take your ass overseas and play for some overseas leagues if you have to, and get international endorsements. You got to start thinking globally. Don't bow down to these bullshit-ass white supremacists, some trailer trash fucker up here burning your jersey and making you think that you got to bow down to him. No. Get off that bullshit. And the thing is, these white supremacists are trying their damnedest to change the narrative, and that ain't really working. They keep trying to make it about the flag and the national anthem. And again, Dallas, they did a protest before the national anthem, and the white supremacists were still mad. So that just proves it was never about the flag. Stop letting the white supremacists control the narrative, and if they try, you just don't buy into it. You stick to your narrative. I have a lot of black people out here, man, they done changed the narrative. No, you let them change it. You stay on yours. You know, fuck what they say. You stay on your narrative. They're always going to try to change the narrative. That's part of white supremacy. Is denying white supremacy. That's the new tactic of it. You deny it and then you deflect. Understand, black people, stop trying to get these white supremacists to see your side. Black folks got this thing where you're trying to explain to these white supremacists how it's not about the flag. They're running around here talking about, hey, man, my dad was a veteran. And then black folks up here, well, it's not really about the flag. It's about injustice. We up here trying to explain. They're not dumb. White supremacists are not dumb at all. There's nothing dumb about them. They play dumb. They know good and well what you're protesting. Black people have said it over and over again. They are deliberately changing the subject and winking at each other. Don't waste no breath arguing with them about what the protest is about. You always bring it back to white supremacy. Don't explain to them how it's not about the flag. If they start talking that flag stuff, you start, hey, sir, I'm just really not for white supremacy. I'm not for white supremacy. I'm protesting white supremacy. It's just that simple. And the thing is, now that whole flag argument is kind of falling off, because now the white supremacists are just being a little open with their white supremacist views. So now what they're going to have to do, they're going to start trying to change the narrative into an anti-cop narrative. Well, you guys just don't like the police. See, that's where they want to go with it now. And I would love for them to go there, because then we're going to have to start showing all of the white supremacists who have infiltrated law enforcement. So they want to go there. Let's go there. We're going to bring it right on back to white supremacy, though. Another thing we have to watch out. Now, I was looking at some stuff online today, and I knew this was going to happen. Where you got some of these suspected white supremacist, white feminist groups, they're going to try to change the narrative. They're going to try to change the narrative into women stuff. They're going to try to change the entire narrative into women stuff. There was some kind of meeting or some kind of event that the National Organization of Women, they're trying to put together in New York somewhere. And they got a couple of black female speakers that's going to be there. That's a red flag right there. The minute the National Organization of Women start inviting black women somewhere, red flag. Here they go. These white feminist groups, they've never done anything for black women collectively. They have always neglected black women from their inception. They don't do shit for black women. So when they suddenly bring black women around, all we just know the trick bag is coming. The trick bag is coming. So there's some kind of event that the National Organization of Women, they're putting together called White Nationalism and Misogyny. How white nationalism and misogyny goes hand in hand. Now, that's true to a certain degree, but when they start bringing black women around, they're going to start bringing the whole, well, the black men, they're the white supremacists of black society. They're going to start that bullshit. That's why they put out that fuckboy article talking about black men are the white supremacists of black society. They're going to start milking that. Understand where that came from. That came from them, those suspected white supremacist liberal feminists. That's where all that bullshit came from. And they're going to start milking that stuff. So they're getting the bedwinches galvanized. They're rounding the bedwinches up, and they're going to start putting a lot of bedwinches out here to try to redirect the focus into misogyny. They're already trying to do it. Y'all be on alert for that and don't fall for it. They're getting the bedwinches together. Now, understand, the white supremacists are burning the midnight oil because they feel like they're taking an L right now because the whole world is looking at all of these high-profile black athletes, put them on Front Street, putting white supremacy on the hot seat, and all getting on code. When we start getting on code, the white supremacists immediately go on alert. So this is why we got to stay on code. We cannot let up. The minute black folks get pressure, we put the tap shoes back on. We got to cut that out. Don't be afraid of the pressure. Don't be the next Ray Lewis. Did y'all see that nigga backpedal? I got to play a clip of this nigga. The coonery is just ridiculous. Now, Ray Lewis, during the Ravens game, the whole team got on a knee, and Ray Lewis got on his knee too. He's an opportunist. He went along. He didn't want to be the odd man out. It would have been a bad look if he stood up there. So he got down on his knees like everybody else. He got down on his knees. But being the opportunist he is, because the white supremacists, they know they're niggas. They know they're slaves. The white supremacists know he's a coon. And they know how to go after a coon. They started going in on him. They start signing a petition to get one of his statues. Don't he have a statue out there in Baltimore? They start signing a petition to get his statue removed. See, the white supremacists immediately turned on their coon. How dare you stand in solidarity with other niggas when you are our special nigga? That was the message to him. How dare you stand with other black folks and we made you our special coon? They were going to really punish him. All those delicious butter biscuits we gave you, nigga, and you're going to turn on us, white mommy, white daddy? We're going to get your statue removed. They start going in on him. And they know they're coons. Somebody said in the chat room, said that statue was his kryptonite. A coon falling out of favor with white mommy, white daddy? Uh-uh. He wasn't about to let that happen. So he did an about face. This is him on, Showtime, one of them shows. I don't look at none of them sports shows. I don't give a fuck. I don't look at none of them. But this is a clip of Ray Lewis on one of these sports shows. I think it's something on Showtime. I don't know what show it was. But this is him doing an about face explaining that he really wasn't protesting when he got down on his knee. Listen to this.
Sunday, the pundits everywhere certainly did. Ray brings a very unique perspective to this because, as an ex-player, he was overseas there in London, and you've already set the stage with how much the conversation was about everything but football. But you seemingly, from the optics, got caught up in this as well, too, because, in fact, you did take a knee when...
Now, listen, they rehearsed all this stuff, by the way. Understand. See how the I think this guy, James Brown, he's a commentator. He's setting it up. He's like, well, you seemingly... See, they got all their coons rehearsed backstage. All of this, the white mommy and white daddy set all this up so that he can get back on the coon train. So they're setting it up for the coon train.
You are allegedly on record as saying that you never would. Talk about
actually
what
two
happened.
Knees.
And that's the point.
Let's make sure you hear people saying, oh, he took a knee. I absolutely not. Did not take a knee.
Uh-oh.
I walked onto the battle.
Hold on. Let's be clear. When you say you hear people say.
You hear Shannon Sharp going out there talking about I dropped on a knee. And this is about, oh, I sat in the chair next to him. And I said I would never do this. And I still didn't do it. I'm watching young kids just confused. Everybody confused. Nobody don't know what they're talking about. What am I going to do if I'm going to stand up, if I'm going to grab hands, if I'm going to interlock? What am I going to do? So I walked away, JB, and I didn't drop on one knee in order to protest. Boom, I dropped on two knees, both knees, so I can simply honor God in the midst of chaos.
And Ray, now hold on. So
that
you
nigga
are
said he prayed.
Making this point, which, by the way, you were very passionate in our production meeting as well. So put a little bit of context on this. The reason you mentioned Shannon, meaning Shannon Sharp, your former teammate, why are you mentioning him? What does he have to do?
He goes out and tells somebody why he's so disappointed in me.
In you?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm 42 years old with six kids. I'm a grown man. So to be disappointed in me, it really, like, sparked me. And now all of these people are going off his sound bites of how he's so shocked that I dropped on the knee to protest. Really? You got my phone number, brother. A friend?
Oh, brother? This opportunist. Brother, stop.
A friend picks up the cell phone and say, bro, what was your intention? What were you doing? You saw my mouth moving. I asked the
Lord.
And
your mouth moving was because?
Praying.
I was praying, Lord.
A serious question.
I was praying.
I have First Amendment rights. Myself. We got people saying this. We got people bowing. We got people that don't even want to.
What about black on black crime?
That's, I gotta play the Coon
Train. Where's the white women at? Coon Train is coming. All white peoples ain't bad. Coon Train is coming. We is our own worst enemy.
Yeah, I just had to play the Coon Train for this nigga. That nigga said, yeah, I got down on my knee, but I was praying. Eyes wasn't protesting. Eyes will never do that. Master, Lord, eyes was moving. You saw me moving my mouth, Master. Eyes was praying to you. Eyes was like, Lord, oh, Lord, these niggas are doing wrong. Master, please forgive them, Lord. I mean, you can't be that big of a fucking coon in this day and age. I mean, this is worse than step it, fetch it type of cooning. Somebody said it's CTE cooning. Kids, if you're listening, there is no honor in being that type of coon. And black folks, understand this. This is the reason why there's so much mistreatment of black people. There's no honor in accepting subjugation, being that type of pickaninny, Sambo, buck dancing, butter biscuit eating coon. Because the white supremacists, see, they understand death before dishonor. And my man Claude Anderson, he talks about this in his book, how in many countries in Europe, when they came over, their mindset was, hell, if you disrespected somebody or dishonored somebody, there's going to have to be a duel to the death. If you dishonor me, we're just going to have to fight it out right now. One of us is going to have to die right now. Ain't going to be no dishonor. So a lot of times when these people came over and were in the South and they were dealing with black folks who were just letting them dishonor them, that creates contempt. That creates contempt. Oh, yeah, somebody in the chat room said we need to do another award show. I'm absolutely doing one. I'll probably do the Coon Train in December, probably. I'm just trying to get this movie knocked out. But like I was saying, man, there's no honor in accepting subjugation like that. You always have to resist. There's no honor in buck dancing like that. That right there, that type of shit Ray Lewis does, that creates more vitriol. You notice that there's a lot of coons, a lot of black folks out here cooning, and the anti-black hatred is magnified. Why is it magnified? And this is the thing that confuses so many black people. Black people are like, I'm cooning, I'm a bed wench, I'm a buck dancing Tom, I'm doing everything you want me to do, white daddy. Why are you so mad at me? I'm running the ball. I'm forgiving you every time you kill my kid. So why are you so mad at me? Because you're always mad at dishonorable people. You have nothing but anger and contempt for dishonorable people. There's nothing honorable about allowing a person to subjugate you, and you sit there coming up with excuses to forgive them. You always have to push back. It's death before dishonor. You better have that mentality. See, the thing is, the white supremacists, once they see that you can be subjugated, they will directly subjugate you. Once they see that you will let them dishonor you, they will directly subjugate you now, if because they have no respect for you. See, respect is something that's earned. You have to make a motherfucker respect you, and you make them through some form of punishment. So then they're going to have to indirectly subjugate you, and that happens because white supremacy is global, and the white supremacists, they, and our brother Neely Fuller says, they control you directly and indirectly. Indirect subjugation, they usually sabotage some part of nature. They might sabotage your economy, just like a lot of these hurricanes. Many people speculate that it could be something like HAARP or something like that, and I don't put that past the white supremacists. They will manipulate the weather in order to gentrify certain places. I don't put that past them at all. But that's indirect domination. And they do that for people that they cannot control or dominate directly. For example, Haiti. And this is why, you know, we got the movie 1804 about Haiti coming out in the Haiti documentary and the history of Haiti. They could not subjugate Haiti directly. The Haitians were not having it. And the white supremacists respect that. That's why they have to subjugate them indirectly. They have to fuck with the economy, fuck with the trade, but they got to do it away from the island. They got to do it elsewhere. They can't go there directly with the bullshit, because they know what the people are capable of or have been capable of, and they know that spirit is still there somewhere. You dig? So there's no honor in subjugation. And you don't want to be like that coon, Ray Lewis, trying to make it a religious thing. Because understand this, the white supremacy, the white supremacists have one religion, that's white supremacy. Black folks, please, please get off that religious thing where you think you're going to buck dance and start grabbing the Bible and Bible thumping, and that's going to give you a pass with these white supremacists. There's this white supremacist suspect female preacher named Hope Carpenter. Hope Carpenter is out there in South Carolina. Hope Carpenter, very well known. She has a majority black congregation. She's one of these white women. And there's a few of these white women preachers that they go into the church and they know how to do a little Negro dialect. They know how to sing a little bit. And black folks, it doesn't take much for us to be won over by the white supremacists. So Hope Carpenter, and she's a Trump supporter. And I talked about her before. A lot of those white evangelists are Trump supporters. They're team white supremacy all day. And you dumbass Negroes give them all your money so they can give to people like Trump to further subjugate your stupid fucking ass. You got to be the stupidest motherfucker on the planet to be up in this woman's church. She put up a post on Facebook, and she had to take it down immediately. This is her post. And this woman, this is from a woman who has a majority black congregation at her church. Her name is Hope Carpenter out there in South Carolina. And I bet y'all niggas out there in South Carolina will still be lined up to her church. But this is what she said on Facebook. If you know me at all, you know who I am and what I stand for. And my fight for equality for all of us as humans, right? So do not dog me out for my video pic I just posted about the silent protests. It's wrong. Stop thinking about it from your history or your race. What she's talking about is the protests. She's upset about the protests, about the black players protesting. Let me finish reading what she's saying. Stop thinking about it from your history or your race. This is a white preacher with a black church. The national anthem is our nation's song. Yes, there are things in this country that's wrong, but our country is not to blame. Let me unpack that for a minute. See, they never deal with white supremacy. Listen, it's always some vague, innocuous bullshit where there's some things that's wrong. Yeah, black people are being terrorized racially. Yeah, that thing is pretty heavy. See, they love to try to minimize white supremacy. So there are things in our country that's wrong, but our country is not to blame. You don't like it? Move or be a part of the healing of our nation. You hear this white supremacist piece of shit? She's telling black, and that's who she's talking about. Only people who are really protesting are black. She's like, move, move where? Move where? This is our country. Black people have been here longer than any other group. We've been here longer than any other group. The English, arguably, but all these other groups? No. It's the Native Americans, us, and the English. And we were here before the English, before Columbus, by the way, and the Spaniards. We were here before them, by the way. Let me finish reading her Facebook post. You don't like it, move or be a part of the healing of our nation. This only separates and divides more, y'all. Rise up, church. Where you at? You hanging out with the complainers? The mad? Where you at? Jesus is our only answer. And he promotes faith, love, peace, honor, and unity, and submission. That heifer wrote that. She's telling black folks, she's telling her fucking coons to be submissive to white supremacy. That's what she's telling them. This is a white preacher right now in this day and age putting this up to her black congregation. This sounds like some shit from Django. This sounds like some shit from a damn slave movie. This sounds like Birth of a Nation or something. So Jesus is our only answer. He promotes faith, love, peace, honor, unity, and submission. Do things the right way and get a right outcome. Want to protest? Do it differently. But not honoring our national anthem. Don't dishonor that. God's been good to us. And these people are still representing a state on their jersey. This will not fix racism. Duh. Only Jesus. That sounds like some shit from the 1800s. This woman put this up on Facebook the other day. I mean, the white supremacy came right on out. The minute they get challenged... When white supremacy is challenged, but when they're back against the wall, you see the real them, and I love it. 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 I love the real them to come on out. Let's get this shit out in the open. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop being fake. Y'all up in the church singing with this fucking evil, demonic-ass woman giving her all your hard-earned money, and this is what she thinks about your dumb ass up in her damn church. That's what she thinks about you. Her name is Hope Carpenter. And from what I understand, this woman has a real janky background. She cheated on her husband with multiple dudes. And she's a real shaky ass broad. And I'm going to finish reading her thing. It says, this won't fix racism, only Jesus. If you want to kneel, then you better be praying to the one and only who can heal our land. If any black people are in her church this Sunday, you are a butter biscuit eating Sambo who deserves every bit of vitriol coming your way from a dirtbag like that. Her name is Hope Carpenter. And her husband, he got on Facebook explaining. Let me find that while I'm talking. Hold on. While I'm talking, let me see if I could find where her husband got online, and he's doing a whole lot of splaining. He's white splaining about her. Okay, shit, it's gonna take me a minute to do this. Hold on 1 second. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to do this and I'm using another computer. There we go. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Because her husband was trying to explain for her. Come on now, don't be acting up on me, everybody. Let me find that clip. I should have had this ready, but I'm just kind of doing stuff on the fly right now. Let me see where her husband is doing his splaining for her. But okay, here it is. Here, let me play. This is her husband. He's doing a little splaining for her. Let me stop my Mackin music. Explaining her bullshit ass rant. Now, they got a big following. They have a real big following. Hold on.
Done a lot of videos in the last 30 years of ministry, but today's going to be a little bit different. No studio, no lights. And it's not with a word. It's not with a prophecy. It's not with a nugget. It's not with a principle. It's with a heavy heart.
Here they go.
That I speak.
And black folks, stop falling for this. This is drag. Black folks hear that. When you hear the white supremacists all humble sounding, when the white supremacists got a nice little tone in their voice, that black folks eat that up. Fuck him and her, by the way. Just understand that.
I'm speaking on behalf of us. I'm speaking to the Redemption family and anyone, really, who in the last 48 hours have come to know us. And concerning Hope's post Sunday evening. And you say, well, you know, Pastor, why don't you let Hope speak to us? Number one, because I'm her husband and I'm recovered. And I will always be that as long as I'm on the earth. And number two, she has taken a beating. And she's pretty emotional. She's pretty.
Now she's the victim. They're going to flip it. She's the victim now. Now she's the victim. I wouldn't be surprised if Ray Lewis is at her house. Lord, I forgive you. Oh, so they had to flip it into she's the victim. She's been taking a beating. She's pretty emotional. She's been beat up verbally. They got to flip it into them being a victim.
Fragile right now, and I wouldn't put her in front of a camera. And even as her husband, it's been very difficult to read some of the fierce comments. It's been brutal.
Well, her shit was brutal, bruh. Your wife's shit was brutal.
And so I'm going to try to just talk to you for 2 or 3 minutes and not get emotional myself because, you know, words hurt.
Fuck your tears.
Words hurt, and I don't know that we've ever really faced anything like we have the last day or so. Hope probably has one of the best hearts of anybody I've ever known in my life.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to let the bullshit play.
Can have anything she has, and I've never seen her ever get in a crowd of people where they didn't feel the love that came from her. She's an amazing person, and but you got two people here in me and Hope that were both raised in very, very patriotic homes.
Lord,
people, military people, war vets, retired military.
They're trying to flip it into that. They're trying to flip it into that. And, you know, the military
flag, all that was just something that was always sacred. And Hope in no ways tied together patriotism and racial insensitivity.
Yes, she did, and you doing it. He's doing it. You see, he's talking about the flag, our friends and the flag. He's still trying to run that flag bullshit. He's still trying to do it. I just want y'all to see how slick they are. They try to act humble, like they're all apologetic, and they're just doing the same shit in a different way.
And people can claim that and shoot at us for that, but it's just not true. And the statement that was made, we woefully, and I'm going to say woefully, underestimated how racially insensitive that may have been.
No, you didn't. No, no, she meant what she said. Let me explain something to black people. Let me explain to black people one second. The white supremacist female is almost more vicious verbally than the white supremacist male. See, the male can learn how to be more on code. The white supremacist female, the minute she gets emotional, fuck a code. They'll throw the code out the door. So they can be more verbally vicious. I remember in Charlottesville, it was white women out there yelling, nigga, nigga, nigga. The white dudes out there yelling blood and soil, it was white women out there, fuck the niggers. It wasn't no code or they threw emotions out the door. So she was speaking how she felt. She was speaking exactly how she felt with no filter. She wasn't going to codify it.
People that feel disenfranchised in any way. And so we've come to say that we're sorry.
Oh, Lord.
We've come to apologize. I'm apologizing on her behalf. She wouldn't be able to make this video right now. And I didn't want to get on here and tear and snot and slosh and that go viral and everybody talk about I'm a hypocrite and it's not genuine. So I'm trying to, you know, compose myself as it is. I ask for grace and mercy. Let me speak on my behalf. I've given my life, to get out of my world.
I'm done. That's it. That's all I can do. That's it. I can only take a little white splaining. I can't take that much. And it's like 9 minutes of just horse shit. Just 9 minutes of horse shit. He's just going on with just horse shit. That's all it is. Black folks, stop falling for that. Black people, stop falling for that. Fuck them. Fuck these white supremacists. Don't let them run that game on you. You ain't got to be up under them listening to their horse shit. It's time to circle our wagons and protect ourselves from them. Because understand this, family. The white supremacists, they have a 15-point creed. And I'm going to break this down. The white supremacists, there's a 15-point creed with white supremacists. And y'all got to understand this. And this creed is actually something that they wrote. There was a book written in 1914 by a white supremacist educator, quote unquote, named Thomas P. Bailey. He wrote a book called Race Orthodoxy in the South. This book was written in 1914. And understand, back then, the white supremacists were very open about their white supremacist views. They had no problem telling you what the deal was. They were very open back then. In his book, he gave a 15-point memo about really how to maintain white supremacy. And I'm going to read these 15 points, and every single one of these points apply today. Not one of these points have been deviated upon. All of these points have been valid all up until today. And this is their words. These are not my words. These are the white supremacists telling you this. Y'all listen to this. All right. And again, this is from a book by Thomas P. Bailey, Race Orthodoxy in the South. And that's another thing. This can apply to the whole system of white supremacy, not just the South. The South would kind of take pride on being better races than the North. That's why a lot of people, they have no problem trying to put racism just in the South. The South used to pride itself on its racism. They're like, hey, y'all Northerners are bullshit. We know how to deal with these niggas down here. We got white supremacy down pat. They would compete on who's the biggest white supremacist. But let me read the 15-point creeds that's outlined in this book by white supremacist educators. Number one, the first creed is blood will tell. Now, that's a saying that means your bloodline will tell where you're going to reach in the racial hierarchy. This was that eugenics talk, the Aryan blood, that's real important. The blood will tell where you will reside in the racial pecking order. That's number one. Number two, the white race must dominate. That's them talking. All right. Number three, the Teutonic peoples stand for race purity. Okay. That means the imaginary pure whites, because there is no such thing as a pure white person, by the way. They can know, nobody can really define what a pure white person is. That's why a lot of white people try to lie and say they're from Northern European countries, like places like Switzerland and Norway and all that, where the people are blonde. That's that Aryan myth shit. That race purity. So that's another thing. Number four, the Negro is inferior and will remain so. All right? So they just put it out on the line. This is them talking. The black folks are inferior and you will remain so. We're going to see to it that you remain inferior. That's what they're telling you. Number five, this is a white man's country. They're letting you know nothing has changed from that. They try to make you think because Obama got elected, it's some kind of multiracial melting pot. No. Barack Obama was doing the bidding of the white supremacist males. That's why if they put a black person in a tokenized, powerless position, you got two things you never do. Number one, you do not help other black people. Number two, you do not punish white people under no circumstance. That rule has always been there. And it's still a white man's country or a white supremacist man's country. Number six, no social equality. To this day, we are protesting now because of lack of social equality. We're protesting right this very minute. And this was written over 100 years ago in a book. Number seven, no political equality. See, black people are taught that because there are a few black elected officials that we're politically equal. The white supremacists love saying shit like, well, hell, Baltimore, all the elected officials are black, so what are you complaining about? All the money is white, though. All the people who control things behind the scenes are white. The police unions are run by whites. These shadowy little organizations that we don't really hear about, we see them come out when a black person stops doing the bidding of white supremacy. Let's go back to Baltimore. When Marilyn Mosby put charges on those cops, all of a sudden, black folks weren't running shit no more. We weren't running things in Baltimore no more. All these little shadowy groups came up sabotaging Marilyn Mosby's career and threatening to get her disbarred and all this stuff. The real white supremacists came out. There's no political equality. You have tokenized black people who do the bidding of the white supremacists behind the scenes. Again, white supremacy refines itself, but it never deviates from these rules here. It does a lot of symbolisms and window dressing, but they never deviate from those rules. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said, Andrew Schultz told that big ass lie. Somebody in the chat room pointed that out, that the Baltimore Police Union is run by blacks. And you notice that's another thing. When the white supremacists and their suspects get their backs against the wall, they just start blatantly lying. Schultz told he told about 10 blatant lies when I was debating him. He told multiple blatant lies that could be easily verified and checked out. Now let's go to number eight on the list. Number eight, in matters of civil rights and legal adjustments, give the white man, as opposed to the colored man, the benefit of the doubt, and under no circumstances interfere with the prestige of the white race. That applies right now in this day and age. We live under the I'm white and I say so narrative. Whenever a black person is killed by these race soldiers, whatever bullshit excuse they have, that's what they go with. No matter what we say or how many black witnesses there were, that doesn't matter. Even if the body cam shows that a black person had evidence planted on him, they're like, well, he's free to go. He didn't do nothing wrong. We don't care about premeditated murder, just like there in St. Louis when that race soldier premeditated a murder of a black man and then planted the evidence, and he's free to go. They're going by this list to the letter. They're going by this list to the letter. Number nine, listen to this. This is number nine. In educational policy, let the Negro have the crumbs that fall from the white man's table. These are their words. That's them, word for word. That's them saying this. That's exactly what we get today. That's exactly what we get today. Everything we get education-wise, it's something that falls off the crumbs of the table of the white supremacists. It's always that lift every boat and you get lifted too. Nothing is done specifically for black folks. We always get little incidental benefits. When everybody benefits, we get the little crumbs and the residuals. That's been planned. I mean, they set it all out. We get educational crumbs. Let's go to number 10. Number 10. Let there be such industrial education of the Negro as will best fit him to serve the white man. That means only teach Negroes enough to work for us. Do not teach Negroes how to be independent. We still have that same mentality today. They teach you how to work for white mommy, white daddy. We don't own shit. We don't control anything because we're waiting on white mommy and white daddy to do it. And they have told you right here in black and white, in their own words, it ain't our interest to do that. We're just going to groom you enough to serve us. This is the book. The book is Race Orthodoxy in the South. This was written in 1914. I'm not making up any of these words. These are words directly from this book. A popular book at the time, too. They laid it out. This is them. They're telling you this. And nothing from this has changed. Not one thing. See, y'all got to start having receipts. When they start talking about what white supremacy? Ain't no white supremacy. No, show them receipts. This is y'all writing this. You wrote this. We didn't make this up, and you still live by this. Let's go to number 11. Number 11, it says, only Southerners understand the Negro question. And the Negro question back then was, well, what do we do with all these free Negroes? What do we do with them? That was the question. Then that brings us right to number 12. Number 12 says, let the South settle the Negro question. The Southerners, they've always wanted to deal with the Negroes on their own. They pride themselves on being able to deal with the Negroes. They pride themselves on that. And that brings us to number 13. Number 13 says, the status of peasantry is all the Negro may hope for. I'm going to say that one again. The status of peasantry is all that the Negro may hope for, meaning you're just going to be a peasant to us. You're going to be a peasant to us, and as our peasant, we can get along just as long as you're our peasant, just as long as you're under us, then we can get along. They still go by these rules, family. That's why they keep saying that you black folks making money, that's a privilege. You black people making millions and you're complaining, you're ungrateful because you can be a peasant like we're supposed to have you as. You're supposed to be our peasant and we're letting you make millions, nigga. So you're ungrateful. See, this is the origin. This is what's taught to white supremacists through osmosis. All of these rules, They're taught this through osmosis. They're taught this even on a subliminal level. They're taught this stuff. They understand these codes. Number 14. Let the lowest white man count for more than the highest Negro. That means the brokest white person still has more status than the wealthiest, more popular black person. That's why when Barack Obama disrespected that white police officer right when he got elected, when that white cop went up in Skip Gates' house and Barack Obama said that cop acted stupidly, they made Obama bow down and they had that dumbass beer summit. When they had that, I said, shit. I already knew there was going to be a problem. Y'all go listen to some of my old shows. I talked about that. I said, when I saw Barack Obama, they made him bow down to that damn broke-ass cop, a race soldier posing as a cop, and he had to bow down and apologize to him? A minimum wage-making fucking cop? I said, oh, shit. Obama's powerless. I already knew. That's why rich black folks can get gaffled up and nothing happens. Poor white folks can do whatever to you. You can't do nothing to them. They got the system set up where that doesn't work. Just like with Bill Cosby, you got broke, poor white women taking Bill Cosby down. And he's one of the richest black men in the world. It's broke white women taking him down. It was broke white women fucking with Tiger Woods' money, accusing him of infidelity, and his money was getting fucked up. Little trailer trash white women. It don't work like that with us. We can't make a charge against a white person, let alone a rich one, or a white person with prestige. We can't do anything to them. Notice whenever white people get caught calling us nigger or whatever, nothing happens to them. Look at Dog the Bounty Hunter. Trailer trash Dog the Bounty Hunter was saying all types of vile shit about black folks. All they did was transfer him to another network. You see? The white supremacists, they laid all this stuff out word for word. And the very last thing is, number 15, all statements indicate the leadings of providence. And that basically means everything on this list is sanctioned by God. This is a holy creed. This is a religious text. That's all that means. This is mandated by the Most High. That's what that last statement meant. He tried to be real eloquent with it, but it's basically, this is our God-given manifestation. That's all that means. This is our religious creed. And those 15 points on that creed, they live it to this very day, black folks. White supremacy is a religion. This is why you don't waste time trying to recruit these people from their religion that benefits them. Their religion gives them benefits, like our brother Neely Fuller says. But it's an evil religion. White supremacy is a demonic religion. It's Satanism to a certain degree. It's a demonic religion, but it benefits them. They get tangibles. They practice it every single day, and they recruited you to be the minions in that religion. So you have to break away from that religion and destroy that religion with the religion of justice and black empowerment. You can't be trying to negotiate with terrorists. The religion of white supremacy is a terroristic religion. You talk about Islam, jihad. No, there's no other terroristic religion more terroristic than white supremacy. None in the history of mankind. None. None. So black folks, stop trying to negotiate with that. Stop trying to Ray Lewis your way in the game, because the white supremacist then gave you a little coon statue somewhere and you're going to put your tap shoes back on. No. You better be about black empowerment and staying on code all times, all day, every day. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. It's been real, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, go get your Ogun shirts, by the way. Get your Ogun shirts at TariqElite.com. Everybody's loving the Ogun shirts. Get some of that Ogun power. Get back to your African stuff. I was talking to my brother James Small today, who's in the movie 1804. He was telling me about some of these. He just came back from Africa. I got to go check out some of these places like Benin and Togo. He was telling me about how voodoo and some of that are still national religions in some of these countries. So we got to really get into all of that. We got to get back into that stuff, into our African spiritual systems, our Africanness. I really want to connect more with brothers and sisters on the motherland so that we can get a Pan-African thing going on. But we got to get rid of the coonery. There's international coonery going on. So we got to wipe all that coonery off the plate all over. Again, go to 1804movie.com. Everybody right now who's listening, there's a lot of y'all listening right now. Go to 1804movie.com. There's a link where you can go pre-order the DVD on Amazon. Pre-order it right now so we can get it at number one right now. It's at number two. We need it at number one. The number one DVD is some PBS movie about Vietnam or something like that, I think. We need to make 1804 the number one movie on there tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And again, go to TariqElite.com to get that 1804 Ogun shirt. You're going to learn about Ogun and the movie during the movie. Get your tickets to see 1804 in theaters. You got to see it with your friends. Got to see it with your family. That energy is going to be wonderful. It's going to be a great way to connect with other like-minded people. That's the most important thing. When you go to these movie screenings, you get to be around brothers and sisters with the same positive, codified mindset. That's why it's so important to go to these screenings, man. Anyway, 1804movie.com. And don't forget to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at Hidden Colors Film.com, ladies and gentlemen.